And just before we have our second reading, and Phil comes up to bring our second reading, we're going to play a quick game. It's very simple. It is called the Why Game. Can we have that on the screen? There we go. Maybe not. We get the idea. It is the Why Game. Often little children can ask why and why and why. Anyone do that? Any parents had that this morning? And so what I'm going to do in a moment, I'm going to put a picture on a screen and you've got to turn to the person next to you and you've got to answer the why question. So for example, some of you may have been using one of these. A pen, what is the purpose of a pen? What is the why of a pen? Why to have a pen? What is the purpose of a pen? It is not to annoy people by clicking it endlessly. It is? Yeah. To write, yes, to write or draw. That is why we have pens. So here are a few more. Let's put one up on the screen. A hammer. A hammer. Okay, turn to us next to you. 5 seconds. What's a hammer for? Okay, that's enough time. Hammer is for? For fixing things, yeah, for hammering in nails. There we go. There we go. Okay, next one. Lawnmower. Okay, these are not rocket science level questions. I don't know what the Payne family use lawnmowers for. Okay, yeah. Mow the lawn. There we go. Thank you very much. Yes, what have we got? A few more. Okay, next one. Santa. What is the purpose of Santa? Why Santa? Okay, why Father Christmas? Yeah. Presents. Presents. I think that's right. Yeah, there we go. Presents. Okay, three more. Okay, doctor. What is the purpose? Some doctors in our midst. What is the purpose of a doctor? Why do we have doctors? Yeah? Yeah, for medical health, to help us get better. There we go. We can get an excellent. There we go. They help us get better. They make people well. Okay, fireman. What is a fireman for? Not to make fire. No. Yes. To put out fires, yeah, to rescue people from burning buildings. And the last one, what have we got? A king. What is the purpose of a king? Why have a king? Yeah, right at the back. Go and bellow it out. To rule, yes. A king is to rule. There we go. It's a pretty straightforward game. And this Christmas, we're looking at reasons the Bible gives us for Christmas. Why did Jesus come? What was the purpose? And we're going to listen to one answer to that question in our Bible passage today. We've had a first Bible reading just before Jesus was born. Now Jesus has grown up and he's healed a man born blind. And he does it on the Sabbath, a special day for Jewish people. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they get really cross that Jesus healed this blind man on the Sabbath. They really, really don't want to believe that Jesus is God's king. So they check with the man's parents. He really, actually was born blind. And he was. And now they check the facts again with the man. And Phil's going to come and bring our reading and pick up the story for us. Over to you, Phil.
Right, so our second reading is John chapter 9, verses 24 to 41, which you can find on page 1080 in your church Bibles. John chapter 9, starting at verse 24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin and would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains.
Thank you very much, Phil. If you do have a Bible open, you can keep it open there at John chapter 9. We'll be zooming in on verse 39. Now, does anyone know how many sleeps it is until Christmas Day? How many sleeps are left until Christmas Day? 24. You may have even had a little calendar to help remind you of that. Just 24 more sleeps and then Christmas Day. And what a fun day it's going to be. Fun and games. Joy and laughter, lots of food and presents, and everyone always getting on with everyone else. And no arguments, and no tears, and no fighting. Does that describe your Christmas Day? Peace and goodwill to all men? Well, sometimes it's not always perfect, is it? Christmas can actually be divisive. Maybe we can relate to this picture. We've just had the meal, and we're just getting ready for the argument. Any guesses how many arguments the average British family will have this Christmas Day? Any guesses? Grown-ups, you're free to guess. Three? A bit higher than three? Not as many as 27, wonderfully. On average, at least five arguments, with the first row taking place at 10:13 a.m., almost 40% of children moan about getting the wrong present. Can't imagine anyone here has ever done that. But do you know what the most divisive thing about Christmas is? Well, Jesus says it is him. Jesus. Just look at that verse from our reading again. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. As I said, we're thinking about why Jesus came and why Christmas is so important over the next few weeks. And I wonder if we can see in that verse why Jesus came. The first thing we're thinking about is Christmas means the blind will see. The blind will see. And to help us, I've invited Bill, the born blind beggar, along. Here he is. Don't worry, his glasses are just for effect to make him look cool. He has been fully cured, fully healed of his blindness. Maybe we can have the mic so we can hear him. Now, Bill, you were born blind. So tell us, what was life like before you met Jesus?
Yes, blind. I've never been able to see. I've always needed help, and I had very little hope.
But Jesus, he made some mud with his spit, and he put it on your eyes, and he sent you away to wash, and then you were healed. You could see, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He said something about being light of the world, and I just kind of did what he told me to do. And to begin with, I thought, well, this is a pretty incredible man. And then I started to think, well, maybe he's a prophet. He's definitely been sent by God. And then I gradually started to see more and more who he is. I saw he's God's promised forever king. And when Jesus found me, I could now see for the first time and I could worship him.
Brilliant. Thank you, Bill. We'll get you up in a bit, but do take a seat. That was some turnaround for Bill, wasn't it? Born blind at Bill. And what Jesus did for that man is a picture of what Jesus does for all of his people. He opens our eyes to the fact that he is God's forever king. He is the one who died on the cross so we might be forgiven. And Christmas means we can see who Jesus is. To see Jesus is to believe in him, to worship him, and to have life. Jesus, the light of the world, came so that the blind can see who he is and be forgiven and given eternal life. But there's also another reason for Christmas here. Perhaps we can spot it. Christmas means those who see will become blind. You see, Bill, the born blind beggar, wasn't the only person we met in the story. Next, we're going to meet Francis, the firmly convinced Pharisee. Now, can anyone spot Francis? There we go. Welcome, Francis. Up you come. There we go. Thank you. Now Francis, you met Bill, the born blind beggar, after he had been healed. That's right.
Yes.
What did you make of all of it?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Well, you've come to the right place for your answers. It's the sort of thing I know. Yes. Let me tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't Jesus. I know one thing about Jesus. I've listened to a little bit of Jesus' teaching. He's a very interesting chap, all sorts of interesting teaching, but sent from God? Oh, no, I don't really think so, no. And in any case, I don't really need a saviour. I keep God's law. I'm a good man. I wouldn't claim to be perfect. Committed a sin only, let's see, I think it was February. It wasn't a very big sin, but we all make mistakes. I do things right, and I see things very clearly, very clearly. And I can see very clearly that I don't need Jesus.
Good. Well, I think, thank you, Francis. Maybe
you're
you can,
very welcome.
Good. That's a pleasure, maybe, having you up here. You see, Jesus says there are those who think they see who he is. They think they see, but they don't actually get who he is. And just a word to grown-ups, are we open to the possibility Jesus could be God on earth and our only way to be forgiven? Or have we already closed our minds to that? Jesus says we're all born blind. We don't naturally see who he is, though we think we do. So actually, it's a bit like this. We're going to get Bill and Francis back up here again. You didn't have long to rest. There we go. It's a little bit like, as I said, we're all born blind. I'll try not to break your purely decorative glasses. Okay, there we go. Blind as a bat. There, I think we're good. Okay. So it is a little bit like we're born blind, but how is anyone going to find life? The life that only Jesus offers. You're going to have to imagine this box of chocolates is life. Just work with me. Well, for anyone to see life, to receive life, we need to see, don't we? We need to have our eyes opened. And remember, Jesus came to give life and light to the blind. So, Bill and Francis, can I take your blindfold off for you?
Yes, please. Yes, okay. Please.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Any help?
Yes, please.
And would you like to receive life?
Yes, please.
There we go. Don't just... You're okay there, Francis?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay, well, maybe just not go... Okay, great. Round of applause for Bill and Francis. You see, all of this means that Christmas demands a decision. That's the final thing. We're thinking about Christmas demands a decision. Maybe we can remember the verse we're looking at. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world. Now, Jesus isn't saying here that he's come to judge, though one day he will return as judge of all. What he means is he is the dividing line of all of humanity. He provokes a response. Either we see who he is, believe in him, and receive eternal life. Or we think we see who he is. We don't believe in him, and we don't receive eternal life. So Christmas means no sitting on the fence. Christmas means there's no middle ground. And just to underline the idea, I thought we could have one more game. You did so well in the first one. We're going to play the Love It or Hate It quiz. Again, the clue is in the title, the Love It or Hate It quiz. And it's really, again, very easy. You need to stand up, if you can, and say, love it, love it, love it. So let's practice. If you can, stand up and shout, love it, love it, love it.
Love it, love it, love it.
Great. Or you can sit down and say, hate it, hate it, hate it. Very good. So grown-ups are included. You have to do one or the other. Okay, if you can't stand up, you can just maybe put your hand up. Okay? So we've got Marmite up there. Let's start practice round with Marmite. Marmite.
Love it, love it, love it.
Hate it. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. We get the idea. Let's do the next one. Christmas pudding. Okay, just... you are allowed to look around and see how other people respond. This is going to be very interesting. King's speech. There we go. Well done, yes, well done. Okay. I think four more. Christmas cracker jokes. Christmas cracker jokes. Okay. Carol singers coming to your front door. Okay, very interesting. Okay, two more. There is a right answer to the next one. Home Alone. Okay, we are assuming if you don't stand up, you hate it. Okay, final one, mince pies. Okay, great. Well done. Now, I said you had to choose one or the other, but actually we know, don't we, with a lot of those things, you can kind of be in the middle. You can kind of sit on the fence, but not with Jesus. Just listen again to what he says. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Either we're like Bill, the born blind beggar, we're found by Jesus, given sight and receive eternal life. Or we are like Francis, the firmly convinced Pharisee. We may think we see, but we refuse to actually see who Jesus is and believe in him and be saved. We miss out on life. Jesus is the watershed, the dividing line. Whether we see or remain blind is all about our attitude to him. Our response to Jesus determines whether we see and are saved through his death on the cross, or we remain blind and guilty and under his judgment. It's a bit like people. Imagine they've been living in a mine their whole lives, and they come out of the mine into the bright sunshine. And some of them, they just shut their eyes. It's too bright. And they carry on living in dirty rags and stay in the darkness. Others open their eyes. They enjoy the sunshine, and they see the world for how it really is. They see it for the first time. Jesus says he is the light of the world. And a bit like the sun, the same sun which melts wax, hardens the clay. And so Jesus' arrival, that first Christmas, means humanity is divided into two. Those who see who he is, worship him, and receive forgiveness and eternal life. Those who remain blind and facing God's anger. So Christmas demands a decision. And the question for each one of us this Christmas is, will we see or not? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son into the world. Thank you that you sent him not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And thank you that whoever believes in him is not condemned. Thank you that Jesus today still opens blind eyes to who he is, that we might receive life. Please help each one of us here see Jesus and love him and serve him and have life in his name. Amen.